The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that's never been to a Disney theme park. Wait, hold on. All right, I need a fact check here. Is that true this time?
I've been everywhere.
That's what I thought. This podcast has never been to a Disney theme park, but we do have robots with plans to have our heads cryogenically frozen. This is Hysteria 51.
Yes. I think the difference is he'd like to freeze our heads now. That sticks out to me. Just like you, Brent. Always sweating the details.
Well, see, the thing is, last time I said we hadn't been to The Rock, and you've actually been there, so I was checking on it.
But then that asshole, Lisa's been, you know, I mean, she's the producer, she's been there, but I've never been, so, you know, meh.
Hey, that's no, all that matters. You always tell people that Conspiracy Bot is the producer.
Oh, yeah, but he lies so much, I gotta lie, too.
We are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago. I am your host, John Goforth, and on the other end of this chain and pulley system is my co-host and the man voted most likely to start a cult in high school, Mr. Brent Hand.
Thanks, John. And number one, I would like to say that thank you for calling it a chain and pulley system and not a hang low. And for the record, it's not a cult if you're using it as a tax shelter, at least not right off the bat. My accountant told me that. I need to get that out first.
Let me ask the most basic question here. Is your accountant CBOT?
In times like these, John, answers aren't important. On to more pressing matters, like the truly ghastly and macabre topic for tonight. Disney.
Yeah.
I can show you the cheese muffins. Shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, CBOT, now when did you last let your toaster decide? A whole new muffin. Robin Williams was a djinn. Aladdin took place in a post-apocalyptic world. Buick Regal. Cheesy muffins.
I think that's him trying to sing.
trying being the key word there. All right, I guess we need to address these idiots before we get to the topic. If you're new to the show and wondering what all of that was, the first robot who would like to make our heads into giant popsicles is Conspiracy Bot. Brent built him to help with the show, but he'd prefer to help with our demise. The higher-pitched voice, on the other hand, is Conspiracy Bot's robot minion, Kyle. He likes cheese muffins, and apparently he believes Aladdin to have taken place in a post-apocalyptic dystopia, Brent.
Saw it. I did. Come with Abu if you want to live.
All right. Enough of these idiots, John. That's terrifying. But anyway, John, we are talking Disney tonight.
Hey, you know, Brent, I've got to interject there.
Okay.
Kyle is not the first one to say that Aladdin might have actually taken place in a future post-apocalyptic dystopia. That's actually a thing on the internet.
Oh, well, I'm. Are you active member in the subreddit, John? or
it's on 8chan. It's on 8chan.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, 8chan. Yeah. I'm dating myself there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on, old man.
Well, then before we get to our guests, I want to bring up a Disney conspiracy that we won't be discussing tonight. And this is a big one. Sex. Deplorable things like penises and vaginas drawn into shit here and there. There have been more than one occasion when these abominations, That's, I'm sure, what parents tell the kids are. Those are abominations. Have made their way into the purity that is a Disney film. There they are just killing the protagonist's parents, and you got to have a fucking penis shoved into the shot. What's your favorite penis, John, is what I'm getting at in a child's cartoon.
What's my favorite Disney snuff film?
No, I meant what I said. What's your favorite penis in a child's cartoon?
Oh, okay. All right. It's the one that I was familiar with this concept. Mm-hmm. Because I actually owned it. I owned The Little Mermaid on VHS when I was younger. I think I owned it when I was a teenager. To this day, I really like The Little Mermaid. I think it's The Little Mermaid. Aladdin's probably my favorite. I also really like The Little Mermaid. I like The Lion King. I am unabashedly a fan of these movies. But The Little Mermaid I owned on VHS. It was one of those big pillowy VHS cases. Yeah, if you know what I'm talking about, like extra
white
plastic on them.
And feel like, yeah.
Crinkle, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I remember talking about this in high school. Like, there's a dick on there.
Yes.
Why is there a dick on there?
Yeah, all of the things are just dicks. Yeah. That was a big thing. Even back then, people would have like a printed out copy of an email they got talking about it, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly. Kind of exactly. Yeah. From Prodigy.
Yes, exactly.
So, the thing about the Little Mermaid case is it's been kind of like roundly disproven as a conspiracy. So the story had it. Prior to its disprovization, that's not a word, but I just made it one. The story had it that there was a disgruntled artist working on the VHS case for Little Mermaid, and as he was being fired or as he was leaving or whatever the case may be, he said, one more middle finger to old Uncle Walt here, and I'm going to draw a dick on the VHS version of this.
I got 15 minutes. I got to get a dick out.
The problem with it is, well, a few things. First, the artist that was commissioned to do all of that work didn't even work for Disney, so wasn't about to be fired. And then somebody went so far as to actually find the artist that did the work and interview them. And we learned a few things. First, we learned that this wasn't the first appearance of that picture. It was used in promotional stuff before the VHS was released. The second thing we learned is that he had like 5 minutes to get this picture done. And so he was doing it really quick, didn't even look at the final product. And all of the checkers, the people that look at art before it goes out, didn't notice it either. Like no one, it was an accident. Like all of the spires, as you were saying, Brent, are fairly phallic.
Yeah.
And this one was just, you know, extra phallic.
When you're looking for dicks, you can see dicks.
That's true. It's true.
That's how Xebot lives his life.
It's true. Also true. Dick, 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 dick.
How many dicks is that?
A lot of dicks.
Yeah.
But, you know, the most interesting, the irony here is that no one noticed it until someone in this guy's church group called him up and said, hey, you did the art for The Little Mermaid, right? So what's the story with the dick?
Nothing.
And he's like, what? no clue what you're talking about here.
Looking static on the line. I'm not gay. What?
But Deacon, in all seriousness, this was an innocuous mistake that turned into internet lore. And I would say, you know, this was one of the more interesting internet rumors circling early days internet. We're talking in the 90s.
Like the compulsive dick drawing in Superbad. Cockophilia or whatever they said it was. Like, there I am drawing this big veiny masterpiece. It's like, I didn't mean them to be dicks. They just turned out to be dicks. That's what really happened. Maybe he'd never seen a spire.
This is what you get when you listen to Hysteria 51. You tune in to hear rumors about all the weird stuff that might have transpired as related to Walt Disney. And you get a 5-minute treatise on dick drawing. I'm just saying we're doing our job, man. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. So that's your dick eulogy, we'll call it. Do you got any others that you want to talk about?
Well, there's two more I want to talk about, but one is unsubstantiated or denied, but we all know the truth, and the other really happened.
Okay.
So the denied one is the priest also in The Little Mermaid. So
dude's got a dick erection. I don't know why I said dick erection. Like there was like an elbow erection, but he's got it.
It's like my wife asked me the other day where I saw something, like saw a quote. I said on the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
She's like, what?
I just sneezed from my nose.
Did you say the World Wide Web? Is this 1999 and you're my grandfather? I mean, but no, so the, so Ursula has tricked, whatever his name is, you know, Ariel's beau into marrying him, her. And they're about to get married on the ship, and there's that little pudgy priest who's about to marry them.
Oh, I remember his name, Tony Danza. Ursula, Mona,
Ariel.
Sorry.
They're about to get married, and he starts with the ceremony, and if you slow it down, there is one really good frame, and he's just got a bulge where his dick would be, like in his pants. Like it is. And Disney actually refuted it and said, no, it's his knee.
Sometimes your knee's real high.
So I used to tell girls when I was dancing with them in high school.
Yeah, right.
What is that? Oh, that's my knee. Don't worry about it.
Is that a gun in your pocket? Yes. Oh.
You can say anything there. I'm just going to admit it because I'm not going to tell you.
And
the
when
truth.
They throw it in with like one frame, come on.
It's like, or they, you know, hey, Mr. Goforth, can you come to the front of the class and do share your work on the chalkboard?
No one wants me to do that right now.
Not right now. All right, last one. There was a cartoon with little mice and cats and whatnot. I think the main protagonists were mice called the Rescuers.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds dumb.
And
never seen it, but I'm familiar with, you know.
Yeah,
I
think I might have seen it a long time ago. Not high on my list, but the characters' names are Biana and Bernard, and they are flying through their city in a sardine can,
mm-hmm. as one is
as you want to do if you're a mouse. And flashes of the city are stringing by. And, you know, it's literally one frame a second. You know, you really can't tell what it is. But someone somewhere decided to freeze it and look frame by frame. And there, bigger than Dallas, is a right there in a window, it looks like, a topless woman.
Bigger than Dallas, one would also say.
You know, this thing was so huge. It was, you know, bigger than a Walmart.
It's true. Yes, it's true.
It was
Dallas is the next, you know, next one up. Like, so you've got a meter and then a kilometer.
Mm-hmm.
It's Walmart and then Dallas. Just to clear that up for everybody at home.
And then half of Dallas is a Poughkeepsie. So
it's true. Yeah. It's true. Now you're getting it, man.
It's about as good as the other measurements that we use in America. So it's fine.
It's true. A foot, a yard. By the way, if you had a yard that was the size of a yard, it would suck. It would not be much of a yard.
That's true.
Anyway, the topless woman's absolutely there. By the way, all three examples that we just gave you 100% happened, and you can find frames of them on the internet. You will not find them in real life. I mean, I suppose there are hard copies of the Little Mermaid like VHS jacket, but in the actual footage of the movie where with the priest's erection and with the rescuers, that stuff has been pulled out.
Yeah.
So even though Disney, you know, likes to say it was his knee, they still pulled it out. And they also pulled out the topless woman and the rescuers. But you can find them on the interwebs.
That's funny to me. You know how every once in a while they'll sell the old, you know, the painted frames, the stills?
Yeah, sure.
It'd be awesome to have the titty still. Just like the background with tits. What's that from?
Can you?
Disney.
I mean, if it was like an original still, like with like, what would that be worth? The one that it's like the old, you know, baseball error cards,
right?
Error cards were always worth more
fuck
than
off or fuck you or whatever. Who's got that on the bottom of his bat? I forget.
Oh,
who it was.
Yeah.
Like
I forgot
the brother
about that.
Of someone famous, but he's
but played. No, even error cards like where they were off center or a big one would be the frame was reversed.
There's
so it'd be like a mirror
NBA
frame
card that's famous just because I forget who's in it, but. The Menendez brothers are in the front row behind him.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
You know, so anyway, man. Yeah. If I forget after this episode comes out, remind me. I'll find all these online and I'll put the pictures up so you can see some tits and some priest erection.
In other words, Disney.
Yeah, but luckily, since we're talking Disney, we don't have to just go down the dick and fart joke road that we are so accustomed to. Because
we just burned the bridge to them buying our show.
Well, Disney Plus is going to have a lot of money. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Good.
But we don't have to do it alone, is what I was saying, because we are not going to Disney alone this week. You don't want. Oh, I don't think anyone God, goes to Disneyland by themselves, do they? I'm sure some people do.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of people
probably
do.
Not
but
the people that we probably want to be around.
What excites me is that we have a guest, because that means that you and I aren't just going to be trading barbs back and forth about a place that neither of us have been.
My wife has been like 364 times. I've been zero. Yeah. Yeah. So, Mr. James Payton, thank you so much for joining us. You were the Disney connoisseur who was like, let's do Disney.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you. What brought you in for this? Why were you like, I want to talk Disney?
Oh, man. Oh, I've been to Disney. We go to Disney a lot. We're a Disney family. We have the Disney Plus. We got Disney shirts. We got all kind of Disney shit around here.
It seems like everyone's either that or not. Like,
yeah. There's
no
way.
You're like, I went once. You go and you get hooked, or you've never been, it seems like.
No. Fun fact, we actually were at Disney World as the world was shutting down in March.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Disney World, is that the one, do you live in Florida? Is that the one you normally go to, or what part are you in?
That's the only one we go to. We live in Texas, and I've never been to Disneyland. We've only been to Disney World in Florida. And we were there as the world was starting to shut down due to the everlasting COVID. That was pretty interesting. We were able to finish our vacation unlike a lot of other people.
Right. You know, interestingly enough, I've never been, but John and I once went to a podcasting convention on the literally on the Disneyland grounds in California. You can hear the roller coasters and shit. We're staying there, but we didn't go into the park because we were working the whole time.
Oh, man, that sucks.
I know, and I told my wife, I'm like, why don't you come? She's like, ah. And then I'm like sending her pictures. She's like, oh, my God, why didn't I go?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was just a quick fun fact. But, again, thanks for having me, guys. This I listen to you guys all the time. I'm a fan of C-Bot. C-Bot, you're my homie,
And I'm a big fan of you. Dying in a fire.
he's a huge fan of everyone, as you can see.
Actually, that's one of the nicer things he said to guests, so I'd take it as a win.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a win wherever I can get it with C-Bot. So, I'm from a little town called Ocean Springs, Mississippi. It's in the same county as Pascagoula, Mississippi. So thanks to this show, I learned that we have UFOs.
Pascagoula. Apparently. That's right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that's just a fun name to say.
It is. And you guys said it right.
Pascagoula.
Yeah. Pascagoula.
Well, there's a first time for everything, James. There's a first time for everything.
No. So, that's where I'm from. I went to college at a little college called the University of South Alabama. Graduated with a broadcast journalism degree, and I guess I needed more adventure in my life. So I joined the Army not too long after that, where I did some IT and communications work.
Oh, well, thank you for your service very much.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Went on an all expense paid vacation to the Middle East back in 2011. Thanks to everyone's favorite Uncle Sam.
Yep.
And I did that for 10 years, and now I work for a large media company that shall remain nameless.
You know, eventually we're no longer going to be able to say, I mean, I've said similar things when I've worked at large media companies, you know, shall remain nameless. The more and more they combine and consolidate, eventually we're not going to be able to say that remain nameless. It's going to be like one of two.
Yeah. It might be the one that we're talking about this week eventually.
True. They are one. That is very true.
Yeah. Actually, before we dive into the big conspiracy, I thought first, the House of Mouse, everyone is kind of familiar with, but I don't know if everyone grasps just kind of how big and encompassing it is. So before we started, I want to give a little background before we get into some of the juicier legends and conspiracies and all the craziness that is around Disney. Who doesn't love Disney movies? You know, it's one of those things everyone kind of grows up with them. And they go from modern day stories, and they take new takes on classics to the original classics that, you know, we were raised on. Remember when they would release the VHSs every once in a while and people would go and buy them and they weren't always all available?
Oh, yeah. They went back to the vault.
Back to the vault. Yeah.
And I think, like, going along with what we were saying, like, Disney just kind of has a special place in everyone's heart for one way or another. But Not everyone is a fan. Now, like a lot of people have, well, even a lot of the fans have these things. A lot of them have theories. And one of the things that they always say, and I was reading a lot of these, and they'll say, this theory could ruin your childhood. And I hate that term. You like ruin my childhood? Like how? You know, like anyway, yeah, it's one of those things. I just kept popping up. But
there were lots of things that ruined my childhood. Disney being behind some thing or the other isn't going to be
right. Right.
No, I can't say that Disney ruined my childhood at all. Having a ceiling fan fall on my head, that ruined my childhood for a little bit of time there. That happened, by the way.
Lord, yeah. Oh my God.
That happened. Ceiling fan fell on my head when I was four.
Yeah. There are some seriously twisted theories about Disney and a few truths. And some of them might actually surprise you. But first, before we get into all of that, what is it? What's Disney? And I wanted to start with technical jargon. You can get this off of their site. Yeah. The Walt Disney Company, commonly known as just Disney, is an American diversified multinational mass media and entertainment conglomerate headquartered at the Walt Disney Studio Complex in Burbank, California.
Sounds like a branch of government.
I know.
It is. There's I did some research here. There is the executive, there's the legislative, there's the judicial, and there's the Disney. That's the fourth branch.
Which is the same as executional. So founded on October 16th, 1923 by Walt and Roy O. Disney as the Disney Brothers Cartoon Studio, it is also operated under the names of the Walt Disney Studio, Walt Disney Productions, and then now finally, from 1986 on, the Walt Disney Company. And the company has established itself as a leader in the American animation industry before diversifying into live action film production, television, and theme parks. That's how they describe themselves. So, yeah. And what that says is they own fucking everything.
Fucking everything.
Yes. Yes. If you love it, they're buying it or own it.
Put on their website, we own all of the shit.
Right. Right. And so it kind of started in the 80s. That's when they started buying up shit willy-nilly. And so this is crazy. So they have the Walt Disney Studios, and that includes, that's the studios. Under that umbrella is Walt Disney Pictures, Walt Disney Animation Studios, Pixar, Marvel Studios, Lucasfilm, 20th Century Studios, Searchlight, and Blue Sky Studios. Pretty much almost everything you're seeing. Warner Brothers, and there's a few other, you know, places out there that are pumping out shit, but that is a lot. Lucas, Marvel, Pixar, Walt Disney.
Oh, you skipped one. Anna Snuff. It's where they make snuff films with animation characters.
Yes.
It's a lot of tentacles.
A lot of
tentacles. Bambi's mom dying just went a whole new route in that one.
But besides that, then there are the Disney Media Networks. Then you got Disney Parks, Experiences and Products, and Walt Disney Direct to Consumer and International. Those are real things that they own. And then,
what does that mean?
Well, right. So through those segments, Disney owns and operates ABC, the ABC Broadcast Network, and they own a bunch of cable television networks like the Disney Channel, ESPN, Freeform, and FX. They also own the National Geographic Channel and its publishing, merchandising, music, and theater divisions. And then you got Disney's Parks, Experiences, and Products, and they own 14 theme parks around the world.
Oh, that's interesting. You mentioned FX. They own FX now because I guess they buy. This is the whole thing with Marvel being able to use like X-Men and shit like that, because that came over as part of, like, was it
when they bought 20th Century Fox? They bought a part of that. Yeah. So now they own all anything Marvel. Now they own it. You know, that was a big thing for a lot of, you know, nerds out there. I am nerd. Now that they can use X-Men, they can use Fantastic Four in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's kind of a big deal for people like me.
The one thing they're missing out on are the rights to what Sony has.
Yes. Right.
But they're now, Sony's finally playing ball with them.
You know, they are.
So they can at least do some interchanging. And this is also giving way to things to where we might see a Spider-Verse movie where they're going to have Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield in with the current Spider-Man and things like that. And these are just the big ones. FX, you know, that means there's FXX and ESPN. And eight, the Ocho.
Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
Really. everything that they have. Like, these are just the big things, and each one of these things, and they, you know, cut off one head and two take its place. You know, it's kind of the thing with Disney. It's a lot of stuff. And don't forget, though, also, and this is interesting too, that the cartoon character Mickey Mouse, created in 1928 by Walt Disney and UBI Works, or E-Works, I don't know how you say that, is one of the most recognizable, right behind like Coca-Cola, characters or brands, and it serves as the company's official mascot. And this is interesting. So you have these laws that say that you can only have rights to things for so long. Well,
yeah.
Mickey Mouse was created in 1928. He's already got his stay of execution pushed back to where, like, you can't, you know, he's not in public domain.
He's not, now, yeah.
It's up again in 21 or 22, I forget, and I was reading online, and they're like, yeah, it's going to be redone to where it gets pushed back further. They're not going to let Mickey Mouse become public fucking domain. They're lobbying right now for that shit.
And, you know how much money they would lose if like Walt Disney's great niece once removed said, hey, we don't need this Mickey shit no more.
Well, and one of his nieces, or one of the Disneys, is an outspoken kind of against Disney, so to speak. So yeah. Like, think about that shit.
You know, the thing about Mickey Mouse, we were talking about this the other day, my wife and I, cause my kid's watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse every now and then. And it's like, you know, the main character is Mickey. And then, you know, there's all the ancillary characters, you know, Donald and Goofy and Pluto and whatnot. When I was growing up, the one star from the Disney closet that was not featured in anything I watched was Mickey Mouse. I mean, right, like, there was the old cartoon, like his original, what was his original cartoon? Steamboat Willie.
Like,
so people from back then knew, of course, of Mickey. But like our generation, or around our generation, 70s, 80s, 90s, like, Mickey wasn't the star.
That, you know? I think a lot of that has to do with who was the CEO at the time. It was
Michael Eisner?
It was Eisner. Eisner was, I mean, he can't really get rid of Mickey. I mean, Mickey is Disney, right. Disney is Mickey. But I think he was really into, you know, pumping up a lot of the other properties, like Darkwing Duck and Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, you know, that kind of shit like that. So yeah. I think that was mainly due to who the CEO.
Right. DuckTales and things like that. They were moving into more like a hipper brand.
Try to be more hip. Yeah.
Remember back in the 90s when you would see Goofy and his son, and Goofy's son's wearing like baggy jeans and little round sunglasses.
Goof Troop.
Shit. Yeah. You know, it was definitely trying to redo a thing. Now, James, you said that you are a Disney family. You've been a lot of times. Did you grow up that way? Were you a Disney fan? And did you go to like Disneyland, or I'm sorry, Disney World, as you said, you've never been to land as a kid, or was this as an adult and it grew from there?
So I never went to Disney World as a kid. We never made it out there from Mississippi. So the Disney thing didn't really kick off for me until I got married. My wife had been to Disney World once. She went when she was in high school. She actually performed at Disney World as part of like a band competition thing back in the early 2000s. And she's a huge Disney fan. So I kind of glommed onto that, you know, when we got married. And I went to Disney World for the first time right before I deployed. We went for Christmas 2010. That was my first time going. So, not as a kid, Disney World wasn't really a thing, but I grew up watching those cartoons like, you know, Darkwing Duck and Goof Troop, you know, like we talked about. And it's funny, I never thought about Mickey not being the front and center star of Disney back in the 90s until John just said it. It really kicked off as an adult for me.
Yeah. I mean, me too. I did take a trip once with my friend Mickey. I was in college. certain fungus might have been involved, and I watched Fantasia.
I bet that was exhilarating.
Get a little wacky tabacky, or if you want to go psilocybin, you can. And watch Fantasia, because it is a trip.
I bet it is.
John. I'm gonna have to call you.
I'm not endorsing drug use. I'm just saying that in college it happens.
There you go.
Wow. You asked if we went on a trip. I went on a trip.
Yeah, you went on a hell of a trip if you was taking some good stuff and watched Fantasia. Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, they say that the road to the top is paved in blood and Disney's at the top. So I think we're going to learn that there is at least a lot of people have to say that they've got some skeletons in their closet and some crazy shit going on. So we're going to go to break real quick, but we're going to get to the heart of this, the meat and the potatoes when we come back, the weird shit and conspiracies that are intertwined with Disney. That's coming up next on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And, you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete your 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Thank you.
listen, guys, I'm not endorsing doing drugs. What I'm trying to say is that if you were to be in a state of mind that is outside of your normal state of mind, Fantasia might be a fun video to watch. That's it.
Mom,
that's all
I was
I'm
listening
saying.
To a podcast, and the guy said if I do mushrooms, I'll see Mickey and Goofy and all my favorite cartoon characters.
All the shit.
Will the court rise?
So, James, you had came to us. What we're going to talk about these first. Conspiracies, myths, urban legends, whatever. What's your favorite one? What's one that you had found that you want to talk about that you just absolutely loved?
Oh, man. The origins of Disney World and how that all came to be and how the CIA is involved in that.
Ooh, the CIA?
Oh, man. So, back in the 50s, it became pretty clear to old Walter that he needed to capitalize on this amusement park thing. You know, Disneyland was doing good. He had already opened that up. It saved the company from bankruptcy because they were not doing well financially until Disneyland was built. So he started thinking about a second location for a theme park, and he set his heart on Florida. Now, there's a story out there, actually, that he was looking at St. Louis to open up the second park. Wow. But well, and I can't really confirm or deny there was mentions of it online. Right. But apparently he was insulted by some Budweiser executives. They pissed him off. He pissed them off. Who knows? And that's probably not even true. But he faced some challenges.
As a former St. Louisan, I lived there for a number of years. I can confirm it is not, in fact, the happiest place on earth.
As a frequent visitor all of my formative years, I can very much agree with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've heard not so good things about St. Louis. Right. Yeah. But as he was looking at Florida, he had some challenges. You know, he was one thing that he was really pissed off about was that at Disneyland in the first park, there were a lot of cheap hotels and businesses that were kind of springing up, and he really didn't have any control over that. Yeah. So going into Florida, he wanted to be able to have complete control over everything that was going to be around the
second park. California, you're just like, and I'm driving down the road. Oh, Disneyland, you know?
Yeah.
It's very different. Yeah. It's in Florida is its own.
I mean, it's a fucking,
you know, yeah.
Yeah. And you'll see it's there's a lot to that land in Florida. So
as someone who's been to Orlando twice now, without going to Disneyland, I can tell you it, in fact, is also not the happiest place on earth. I have an idea. Let's pick somewhere that has all the horrible weather that Florida gets and terrible temperatures and humidity, but none of the beaches.
It's so funny you said that, because when you said he picked Florida and knowing where they went, I thought to myself, why? But hey, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah, it is hot.
Gross, you know, strange shit happens, but it's about to get stranger. So he wanted complete control. He set his heart on Florida, and he started to figure out how he could make that complete control thing happen for him. So he turned to probably a name that many of your listeners are familiar with, and I think you guys have talked about him quite a few times, a man by the name of William Wild Bill Donovan.
Wild Bill.
Who was the founder of the OSS.
He was also an amazing G.I. Joe character. So, yeah.
He was an amazing G.I. Joe character, Brent. But, yeah, he was the founder of the OSS back in World War II. Mm-hmm. So Walt teamed up with him, and he also teamed up with a guy named Paul Helliwell, who was an incredibly shady person in CIA operations back in Southeast Asia and the Caribbean. So he gets with these two guys, and shenanigans ensues, right? Part of the plan, once he teamed up with them, was that Helliwell was going to start buying up land in Florida for like $80 an acre. While Bill's Donovan's law firm ran a disinformation campaign to prevent anyone working to figure out who's behind those purchases.
Yeah, it's one of the oldest tricks in the book when someone's buying up land and they use these shell companies and LLCs and things like that, and they still do it to this day, you know? Yeah. And it's one way to buy out an area under the guise of, well, a lot of places call it gentrification or whatever.
Yeah. You know,
just pushing people out of their fucking place.
Yeah, it's classic CIA. Classic CIA tactics for sure. So yeah, bought a bunch of land for $80 an acre. Then the word finally got out that, hey, this is Disney that's buying up this land. So the price jacked up to $80,000 an acre. But by that time, he had already acquired enough land. Mm-hmm. So he was good to go. He didn't really care about the price hike too much because he had the land that he needed. So they got the land. So Donovan advised Disney to set up puppet governments to get around a lot of regulation. So they set up two cities. One was called Bay Lake and one was called Lake Buena Vista. They're still there. They're yeah. still in that area to this day. And they set up a third one called the Reedy Creek Improvement District, which would handle like all of the waste removal, emergency medical services and shit like that. Again, those three places are still there. They keep people on in those cities that live there to make the government run, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's how the CIA helped Walt Disney buy the land and set up the land so that he could pretty much keep it self-contained without too much outside control. Disney gets like a lot of tax breaks and shit because of this setup. They don't have to really worry about a lot of overregulation because of this setup. And, you know, I guess one could say that shit's unconstitutional, right?
Right.
Well, so James, my first question is, the story that you just told, is this like that's how it happened, accepted?
Oh, no, this is absolutely true. This is documented.
Yeah.
They've even done this when was it PBS or whoever did the documentary on them a few years ago. This is public record.
Yeah, it's public record. Yeah, yeah.
No, I know. I'm just going to ask that on each of these stories. Because we're calling the episode Disney Conspiracies.
Yeah.
Conspiracies implies that, you know, not all of it is 100% factual and on public record. So I'm asking on behalf of the listener.
Yeah.
This one is well informed and did happen.
It actually happened. Yeah. And when you go to Disney World and you're riding around and you're on the property that's just fucking huge, you see like Reedy Creek Improvement District utility vehicles driving all around. And the first few times I went, I'm like, what? There's something to that. And it wasn't until I started digging in and found out what the Reedy Creek Improvement District was that, oh shit, it's a phantom city.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to bring one. And John, since you said this, I'm going to just let you know off the bat. I don't want to tell any tales out of school. It's not true, but I bet a lot of people think it is.
Yeah.
Here's the first one. Walt Disney's frozen.
He's
not actually frozen. I heard this as a kid. Didn't you guys all hear Walt Disney fucking frozen?
Yes, I heard this one. I heard that the movie Frozen is like low key telling story.
Hint, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, also,
yeah.
How many episodes of The Simpsons are there with his head,
yes,
you know, in cryogenic,
right,
in some sort of cryogenic state at some point?
Now, when I say that there isn't, I should say, and they had to say this even and everything, there's no, for the record, there is no solid evidence to suggest that Disney was frozen. And actually, Disney's daughter, Diane, she wrote in 1972, quote, "There's absolutely no truth that my father, Walt Disney, wished to be frozen. I doubt that my father had ever heard of cryonics."
yeah, so, I think it was... he was cremated, right?
That I don't know. I don't know that.
There is one piece, gentlemen, of, let's call it, circumstantial evidence that I did do a little research on that I'd like to share with you. James, you alluded to it. It's the movie Frozen.
Yes.
So think about this. Play along with me. Lots of Disney movies, I would dare to say a majority of Disney movies, are based on old stories, stories that they didn't originate, but rather took their own, had their own take on.
And monetized the shit out of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure. Pinocchio is based on the adventures of Pinocchio. Cinderella is based on the story Cinderella. Also can be known as the Little Glass Slipper, but it's certainly also known as Cinderella. Bear with me here. Sleeping Beauty is based on the story of the Sleeping Beauty in the Woods. Bambi is based on the Necronomicon.
That checks out. I agree with that.
That does check out.
I might have made that one up. But, The Little Mermaid is based on a story called, you guessed it, The Little Mermaid. And Frozen is based on a story called The Snow Queen.
One of these things is not like the other.
That's right, C-Bot.
Good job, C-Bot.
That's right. The only conclusion here, based on my selected choices, is that... And the way the internet search works, the powers that be at Disney decided to associate the word Frozen with a smash hit movie, so that whenever you Google Walt Disney Frozen, you get a bunch of Elsa, Anna, and Olaf.
No, that,
not
that makes
the Frozen.
Sense. It's got to be, right?
Yeah. You get that instead of the frozen corpse or head of Walter Disney. I think this conspiracy checks out. I am convinced.
That, you know what, with Disney being the way that it is just in its totality, that kind of checks out for me.
How, in all seriousness, how crazy would it be that a company could have that much power? But like, you know, we just don't like the way this whole SEO is going for the word Frozen. Let's find a story and make it the most popular movie ever, animated movie ever, and we can change the whole narrative
and make a buttload of money. Yeah.
Well, let me throw one out, because it kind of goes along with this. I love the whole, you know, basing things on things. I got another one here for you. So, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Some of you might have heard of it. If you've been to Disney World, it's closed. They closed it down. But it's based on a book called The Wind and the Willows, which I think a lot of us probably had to read when you're in high school or middle school or whatever, and probably not high school, but anyway, in The Wind in the Willows, the Toad, Mr. Toad, is a driver. He drives all over the place, and it's crazy. Well, not in the book or on the Disney World ride, but in the ride in Disneyland, this is fucking crazy. They made a leap with this. Mr. Toad hits a train and goes to fucking hell. Literally, what? On the ride, there are demons and dragons, and you go through these flames. They're not real flames. All this is a children's ride. It's the only on the one, and if you look it up online, you can find there is a Satan character with horns and dressed like the devil with a pitchfork and everything. He hits a train and goes to hell. What?
That is a true one. That is insane.
Yeah, like who greenlit that and goes, yeah. And Mr. Toad's Wild Ride has been around for a long time, and it got a redesign years ago. The one in, I believe, Disneyland or World, I'm sorry, closed in either 95 or 2005. I can't remember. So it's been closed for a while.
Probably scared the shit out of a bunch of kids.
Yeah, right? Like, well, yeah, don't drive fast.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that.
Although, if you brought your kid and you're going through the hell portion of that ride and the kid's just looking around in wonder going, yes, right. I'd worry a little bit when you get home.
That goes back to that whole thing of Walt Disney being a Satanist, right? Isn't that a thing?
Well, I mean, anyone in power, that's just, you know, I think you just throw that out. Oh, yeah, and they drink children's blood, and they're Satanists and things like
that.
So, yeah, that's been...
Oh, yeah, and they're pedophiles.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Pizzagate. Right. Yeah, that whole thing. Yeah.
So, James, what is your next tale of Disney?
So, this one is, it's not so creepy, but it's definitely goes to the heart of Disney's elitist ways. You guys ever heard of the Golden Oak neighborhood?
Yes.
No. Yeah.
Yes. And I have looked at it just because it blows me away, this whole thought. And it kind of speaks to what you said before. I'm not going to get away. Keep going. But yes, I'm very familiar with this.
Yeah. So apparently there's a neighborhood in the Walt Disney World complex called Golden Oak. It's not really, like I said, it's not really weird. It's not really secretive, but it's pretty interesting. So it's a neighborhood full of luxury homes that range in price between $2 million and $10 million.
Yep.
And I think they even go past $10 million. And back in 2016, there were residents that lived there, such as H. Lee Scott, Walmart's former CEO. He lived there. I don't know if Travis Walton lived there or not.
You are literally, though, John, you're on the grounds. Yeah, like he was saying. And so this is a luxury community on the grounds. And it comes with perks and different things you can do at Disney and free shuttle service and things like that.
If you're on the grounds, it means you're still living in Orlando.
Right.
Well,
okay. Well, actually it's lost all value to me.
It has its own designation. Yeah, because it's in Orlando, that's just a done deal for you.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I know, it might be, might be under a dome, which is something that he was actually supposedly wanting to work on, to put the whole place under a dome back in the day so that he could get rid of the Orlando's weather Orlando-ness. So maybe, you know, that's coming up in the future. Who knows?
Oh, man. I could totally see that happening.
So
yeah.
I looked up the $2.5 million. They started about $2.4 million. And yeah. It wasn't an overly, 1,900 square feet, nice-looking home, but you're paying for the amenity. Oh, and here's a perk. Anything you buy when you're on the park, they'll deliver it to your home.
Yeah.
For free.
For free. Polite or $2.4 million, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, you know, hey.
So if you want, a mouse-shaped pretzel, soft pretzel, you'd get walking through
the
park.
You get most of it delivered.
Yeah. Yeah. The HOA fees at this place are over $20,000.
That's not surprising at all, sadly enough.
Yeah.
You know, and well,
a nominal fee. It's a nominal fee.
I do wonder, now, serious question, jokes aside, how do they account for security? I wonder, you must have to agree to all kinds of provisions.
Probably. And it's gated.
Oh, Disney has its own
security service there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a very gated community and you've been vetted before you get in there. And there's probably, you know.
Well, that's my point. If I bought a house there, I couldn't have Conspiracy Bot come over. They wouldn't let him in.
No. No, but most HOAs would not allow him in for the first, you know, so I don't think that's,
I mean, the local grocery store won't let him in either. I guess that's not saying.
But yeah, there's 8 little neighborhoods encompassed in the whole.
Yeah. And they're all around water in one way or another, but yeah, it's a nice little place. You're right there. Yeah. Going along with that, here's another one that's interesting. This one is absolutely true, just like the last one. When I said that they would deliver stuff to you, the other thing is, if you ever go there, one of the things they pride themselves on is you never see things being transported around. You never see a cowboy walking through an astronaut area. You never see a cart delivering water to one of the, or a bunch of stuffed animals to one of the sheds, because the entire place has tunnels, or the utilidors, as they call them, these secret
tunnels. The utilidors.
Yeah. And yes. So I said that cowboy. So, you know, his alleged hand, there's a cowboy is cutting out through Tomorrowland. And
this is tell the story right, but at Disneyland,
yeah, and
not Disney World, like Walt, well, saw it happen.
Yeah, he was there, and he
was angry.
Yeah, didn't like it. So boom, they build tunnels.
A really cool thing about, or interesting at least to me, about the utilidors is they aren't technically underground. Everyone thinks of them as underground tunnels. Technically, the part of the park you walk on is the second floor. So the utilidors are built above ground, and then the part that you walk on is the second floor. Think about that as just an architectural feat. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And so they use them for your characters to get around, stalking vendors, and all sorts of tales of murder. There's so many creepy stories and pastas. And one of the main uses, because if you go to college, one of the things that people always want to do is get one of those Disney residencies or whatever. You can go there. Sex. They fucking those things all the time. The kids that are working and people and things like that. Lots of boning going on in those underground areas.
You won't see that as a Disney movie, boning in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah, but you might be in an underground tunnel and see Buzz Lightyear railing away on poo. Winnie the Pooh, you know, something like that.
So, if you want to see what the utilidors look like, they're not all that exciting. There's lots of videos on YouTube, you know, people secretly filming inside the utilidors, and they are so utilidor is short for utility corridor, and that's exactly what they look like. They, if you've ever walked around the insides of a NFL stadium or Major League Baseball park, same thing, just kind of big, you know, cinder block walls that are painted, pipes running along the walls, and then, you know,
they're bright, where, airy, you know, and they're not nearly as terrifying as one might think of, like, corridors kind of thing.
Yeah It's also where they prepare all the food in the park.
Yeah.
Not just transport it, but they also prepare it down there as well.
We teased a little bit when I said murder, because there's all sorts of stories or death. So I want to do one that is true, at least part of it, and part of it might not be true. But I am going to tell about a death in the park. This one is the death of Debbie Stone. She was a worker who was actually killed by a moving attraction. So they got a ride, I guess you could call it, the Carousel of Progress. And then years ago, it changed to America Sings. And what it is you're in these seats, and like the carousel, you move around and these stages move. And so you see like six different shows of animatronic singing. Well, she was a guide, and she would be on the stage, and it would move, and she'd be like, okay, next up is, you know, these birds are going to sing to you about, I don't know, like jazz, you know, whatever. And she got trapped between the walls as they moved and was literally crushed to death, and very sad. So now, like, it's something that they're very aware of. But here's where the fact stops and the hearsay starts, or whatever you want to call it. Some people say that if you get near the wall, you can hear her say, "Careful." She's just a really thoughtful ghost in the afterlife. Careful, careful.
It's the most polite ghost
ever. Be safe. Don't fucking kill yourself. I died there. She's Canadian.
She's Canadian. Hey there. Don't watch yourself there.
So we're gonna keep these going. That seems like a good spot. We're gonna have a lot more. Let's go to break real quick because I need to freshen up my drink and get some more ghost stories going. That's coming.
I think we'd all appreciate it if you freshen up as well.
On Hysteria 51.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All I'm saying is Fantasia is good on weed. That's what I'm trying to say.
It had nothing to do with what you said earlier. James! We're going to cut off John's lying and hit me with another one. What else you got?
Have you ever watched Fantasia? Have you ever watched Fantasia on weed? Yeah. Hey, guys, I have one for you.
Oh, okay. Oh, you do? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Did you know that Peter Pan is actually the angel of death?
Ooh, I've heard this
one. I've heard this.
This actually makes a whole lot of sense. And if you've got, if you watch like other shows and stuff, he's kind of like a bad guy. But yeah, keep going.
Yeah, it's kind of, this is a really fun play on the story, or interesting or intriguing, and like kind of viewing it through this light. But you'll note that if you watch the movie or if you read the stories, the Lost Boys don't ever grow up. It could be because they're already dead, and Neverland is some form of the afterlife. So,
hold on real quick. Are you saying that Peter Pan is a strong creative, like Nosferatu? And maybe Neverland is his Neverland is his inscape that he's created, and he takes the children there. I don't know. I'm really into Nosferatu right now.
He's a vampiric. Okay.
All right. So if you're familiar with Peter Pan, you'll know that it was a story that existed before the movie. It was the stories were written by author J.M. Barrie, and Barrie's brother died when he was just 13. And this leads some folks to think that the idea of, you know, a kid dying and never growing up came from his real life. The theory also somewhat ties to a pretty famous line from the story, the quote, "To die would be an awfully big adventure." That, I mean, just, you know, if in context. Now, obviously, this isn't a Disney-only conspiracy. The stories were written before Disney. They just did their take on it.
Right.
But they're complicit. They're in on it.
They're in on it, just like they're in on every fucking thing else.
Well, maybe Peter Pan, for his inscape to work, he needs people to believe in him like Freddy Krueger, so... Walt Disney is feeding into that by keeping his memory alive.
I like how we just took a beloved Disney character and we just made him a fucking monster.
Have you listened to the show?
Yes. And I love it.
I mean, I can't say that's the first time we've done that this week. All right. So James, do you have another one for us?
Yeah. So abandoned parks. This is true. I guess everything that Disney has touched over the years isn't you know, paved in gold or whatever, right? So there's two abandoned parks at Disney World. One is called Discovery Island. It's in Bay Lake, and it's been abandoned since 1999. It was originally called Treasure Island when it opened up in 1974 as a bird sanctuary, and it was rebranded as Discovery Island in 1978. It had all kind of exotic animals, flamingos, and there was a beach for tourists there, too. The island could only be accessed from a Disney resort boat or a Walt Disney World cruise and was known as a premier tourist destination from like the 70s to the 90s. But it's no longer open. And there's a couple of reasons. One, the main reason that it closed is that there was a deadly bacteria found in the park's waters. It could cause death by affecting a human's nervous system. So that's happy.
That's fun.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, could you
there's
imagine
also
going
a bunch
to
of
a
rumors yeah. of they were abusing the animals and things like that, or neglecting yeah. them, not abusing, that seems to could go down a different route, but yeah, and yeah. so they just kind of, you know, cut their losses. But in true yeah. Disney fashion, what they do, even on rides, a lot of times they don't get rid of them, they just build around it.
They
now this one's
it.
Awesome, yeah. and I'm sure you've seen this. Did you see where a few years ago that photographer swam there and toured it at, during the day and night?
Yep, he took pictures of it, and it's creepy as hell. Yeah, yeah.
and part of it still.
Oh, I'm gonna see that.
Part of it still has yeah. the lights on. Why the fuck does it have light? Like in the middle of the place, all of a sudden yeah. shit's lit up, and he's like, "This is creepy." So people say that it is haunted by the ghosts of like different characters and all this shit. I mean, there's all these stories yeah. about it, but it is yeah. a creepy, creepy place. And it's got all the weird piratey / you know, bird sanctuary stuff still there.
Still
and
there.
Still
and
covered
it just
in
looks,
birds.
It just looks creepy as shit. And did you hear about the guy back like when, you know, the coronavirus like first started back in April? There was a guy that was camping out there.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. So
now I got to tell you, I would pay for a tour of this place.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. There was a guy. He was Richard McGuire from Mobile, Alabama, was arrested on April 30th after camping on Discovery Island for multiple days. He told police officers he didn't know that the park was closed to visitors.
I'm sorry, officer. I didn't know I couldn't do that. Like Dave Chappelle, you know? Like, what? Oh, my God. Oh man. So I think I'll take it to a little bit darker of a thing. And I'll go back to, I will say this. This one is up in the air. You can choose. Okay. It could be true. It could be not true. Of course, they're not going to come out and say this, but this is one that it's a stigma that has been around Walt Disney for a long time. And that was the thought that Walt Disney was an anti-Semite. And many people claim this, and there are many rebuttals. And here's a quote. There are many charges against Walt Disney, and if you answered every one of them, you'd have a 4-hour film that was nothing but rebutting charges. Said that's a quote from Neil Gabler, author of Walt Disney, The Triumph of the American Imagination. That was a quote that he gave to the USA Today. And he said that this blows my mind, and I think this is kind of a gross statement, and I want to read this. He said that he read every one of Disney's papers in the company's archives, and he's quoted as saying, "I saw no evidence other than casual anti-Semitism that virtually every Gentile at the time would have that Walt Disney was an anti-Semite." Oh, so just a normal amount of anti-Semitism.
Just a little bit. Just enough.
Yeah, just a touch of hate, you know, and disgust. I don't know, John, wow. Doesn't that bother you? Doesn't that make your skin crawl a little bit?
The way more the way it was phrased than anything. Like, well, how can I say this? What I'm guessing they were trying to say is that accepted norms in the way people mm-hmm. spoke back then were different than they are today right. because we have improved as fucking society. And the way he said that, though, is like the accepted amount of well, I don't know that anyone was accepting it. I think it was more along the lines of this is, I mean, like there people have said bad shit for a long right. time. And guess what? 20 years from now, we're going to look back at some of the stuff we say today and go, oh, God,
of course.
Did we say, you know, I'm not excusing if he said anything that was faintly anti-Semitic. It's horrible. I'm not excusing it. But like the way that guy said, like, wait. I think the bigger question at hand is are some of these accusations about him saying these horrible, wretched things, about him meeting with horrible, wretched people.
Right.
Are these true or not?
So they did do, like I said, PBS did a film about him. And the person, the woman who had done it before, she'd recently done one on Henry Ford. So Deadline Hollywood, they asked her, and you know, about the anti-Semitism, because it's not addressed at all. And she said, unlike the subject of her previous film, Henry Ford, who was, as she said, a very much anti-Semite, in the case of Disney, she's quoted saying, it wasn't relative to who he was, so it's not part of the film. Again, I don't exactly understand.
Okay, now that, that's disgusting.
That is disgusting.
That's like, that's like saying, you know, other than the kids that he molested, you know, other than that, it really didn't pertain to who he was as a person. I mean, if the guy was an anti-Semite, let's get rid of any kind of gold halo that hangs around his name, and let's, you know, expose him for what he was.
Right.
There's no question about
and
that.
So it's a tough pill as well. Here's something that we do know. This is according to the New York Times, an article from 1938, a month after the Nazi assault on the German Jews. Walt Disney gave Hitler's personal filmmaker, and I'm going to butcher this name, the name was Leni Riefenstahl, and he gave him a tour of Disney studio, and Riefenstahl offered to show Disney depictions of the 1936 Berlin Olympics, and blah, blah, blah. Eventually, the Times reported that Disney turned down the German artist's ability or working with him because he realized, quote, working with her would ruin his reputation. So take that in. And then you have in the biography of Riefenstahl, author Steve Bach writes that upon her return to Germany, she thanked Disney for receiving her, saying it was gratifying to learn how thoroughly proper Americans distanced themselves from the smear campaign of the Jews. That was
her take on
Walt Disney himself. So this one,
it always goes back to the Nazis, right? It always goes back to the Nazis.
It always does. It's true.
You have listened
to this show.
I don't think I'm going to give him a pass on this. I think it still needs to be looked into. But it's a lot easier to whitewash someone's character, their backstory, because their name is worth billions and billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying everyone who likes Walt Disney is an anti-Semite, but I am saying they're okay with it. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry.
It's just sad. We'll never know, you know, unless there's some, you know, I mean, maybe when it's far enough removed, but it's such a terrible thing. So that brings me a little bit away from the conversation of the conspiracies and stories and stuff like that. There is a lot of mistrust in Disney nowadays because it's so big. Do you think that that's based in reality, you two? Is Disney too big? Should there be it? Or is that just, you know, it's not a monopoly, it's nothing, it's just the way that business is working? You know, what are your thoughts?
That's such a loaded... So the consumer in me, the one that likes Star Wars and Marvel and all the other shit and all that, the consumer in me says, no, let's keep this shit going.
Right.
But the other side of me that's just kind of like, I guess it goes to that thing of, is it too big to fail? Maybe.
Yeah. I get that.
I think, first and foremost, I think there, you know, you have to have two separate conversations about Walt Disney as a person and then about the Disney company, right?
Yeah.
Walt Disney as a person, it is no doubt had his flaws. Mm-hmm. I haven't done enough research to form an opinion as to whether he was anti-Semitic or not. And if he was, I'm fucking out. I'm all the way out in every way, shape, or form. And I would never, you know, I'm not going to make an exception for, well, those were the times. Right. I fucking hate that. That's not acceptable.
Time.
Yeah. You know, it was, and you know what? There were bad people and good people then too.
Yeah.
However, and taking that as, I mean, because there are more than one there are people that are on the record saying how bad of a person he was to them, like how he treated workers.
Yeah.
And there are also plenty of people that talked about how he was the kindest, warmest, gentlest person they had ever worked for. There's more than one Jewish person on record saying, I have no idea how he could have been anti-Semitic. He was lovely to me. He knew I was Jewish. It was wonderful. I just haven't done enough research to have an opinion on that. However, him as a person aside, the company, he's dead. He's long gone or frozen in a capsule somewhere. Either way,
right.
The company, it's an interesting question. You know, can a company get too big? I don't know. I don't know that a company can get too big on the surface, because you know what they've done a really good job of? They've done a really good job of diversification. It's not like they're just too big in theme parks and they have a theme park on every corner across the world, or they're just too big in merchandising and, you know, they're only, you can only buy a stuffed animal that is a Disney stuffed animal. It's that they do a really good job and are at the head of like 50 different industries.
I will say, you know, that I think a company can get too big. That's why monopoly laws are input, because then they can become its own behemoth of an entity, but that is two different things, I think, as far
but
as...
But monopoly laws are in place for them to be too big in one industry.
Well, but now it's...
What I was saying is that they're big in multiple.
But we're definitely in a different world where so many things are so touching one another. Like, you know, things are... Entertainment is not one thing anymore. Like, the movie industry is now also movie and animation and podcasting, and everything touches, you know, music, everything overlaps. And so I do think, like, that's something to be looked at by people that are smarter than me, I guess is what I'm saying. But I think that things like that can run amok. I just don't know that Disney is doing so right now. They're just buying up a lot of stuff, smartly or not smartly, however you want to say it. They're spending a lot of coin, and it's working for them so far.
Well, think about this, though. Like I mean, now this is, you can make the argument. Well, think about this. The market cap for Disney right now as a corporation is $222 billion. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. It's a huge corporation, right? The market cap for Apple right now is $2 trillion. Right. I mean, they are, I guess what I'm saying is, if we want to start considering companies being too big, Disney's not the place I'd start. They're so diversified across many spectrum. They don't own any particular spectrum. But Brent, you make a really good point as things become more consolidated, especially in media.
I guess that's the media word I was struggling for. Thank you, media.
Media is really interesting because there are very specific laws in place around media, what the FCC allows, what they don't allow, what the FTC allows in what you can say in advertising, what you can say in broadcast, that are structured because you can't own too much of the generalized media. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it turns into China, where you've got state-sponsored media only, know? And that's the interesting kind of parallel, or well, that's the interesting intersection of what Disney owns, right? From all of those TV stations that you mentioned earlier, Brent, to the movies, to what
print
they're doing
media,
with Disney Plus,
everything.
You know, there was talks back before he passed away between Steve Jobs and Bob Iger about a merger between Apple and Disney.
Man,
could you imagine?
You know what? I bet that at that time, it would have been Disney acqui-hiring Apple. Yeah. Like, at the time, Disney was bigger than Apple, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And boy, like Apple could reach into its pocket, you know, grab the lint out, see how much is left in there, and go, huh, oh yeah, I guess we could buy Disney.
Yeah. So, kids, that's kind of our takes on some of the conspiracies. There's a lot out there. We could have kept going. Deaths and things that, you know, death and haunted mansion and different Space Mountain is haunted, and just so many things where this could keep going and going and going. And, you know, maybe we'll even do another episode on this sometime, because give it a year and there's going to be 16 more. We can make up our own. You know what I mean? So
6 months.
Yeah, right. But real quick, James, thank you so much for joining us. And it was a fun topic. I didn't even know it would get so heady. We were talking about, you know, monopoly laws and anti-Semitism and shit. You're like, let's just talk about some craziness. Like, see what you did. Get off the fucking show is what I'm getting. No, I'm just
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much for being on here. Thank you for a fun topic. And John, yeah, you even threw some stuff in there. It was a heady one. Did you think it was going to be so heady? I enjoyed it.
No, I to put it to you this way, when I was in fourth grade, I did a book report, or a person report, I guess, on Walt Disney, and none of this came up.
You don't say. It wasn't in your Funk and Wagnalls encyclopedia that you're referencing at the time.
I had a world book Ooh. I'm not shitting you. I had a world book from like 1969 that had belonged to my father. And it was a whole set. Like mm-hmm. you know, A was a book and B was a book.
No,
and
I had that, yeah.
When I did that report, we started to notice that they were taking on their age. You know, things like different countries that no longer exist and things of that nature. So I had to get this report done, and I wasted a bunch of time, procrastinated, and it was like the night before. And I convinced my parents, I'm like, I'm just going to cut pictures out of these things because we're going to throw them away yeah. anyway. So my report was chock full of awesome, interesting pictures from the encyclopedia.
That's hilarious. It's funny.
I cut them out of the encyclopedia.
It's so old that like you're looking at the map in the back, and it's got all the countries, and you're like, Tirad? What?
From Tirad. Like, what the hell?
Mom? Dad?
Oh. I thought you were going to go like Mesopotamia or something. But no, you went full on alternate universe. Yeah. I love it.
So like I said, thank you so much, James and John. If people want to talk about this, talk about what James' topic was and all their favorite Disney experiences and stories and conspiracies, where can they do that at?
That would be in Hysteria Nation. Yes. It's our Facebook discussion group. Just go to Facebook.com and search Hysteria
also,
Nation.
If you're on Facebook, Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That is our normal Facebook page. Patreon, Patreon.com/Hysteria51. For $1 a month or more, you can get all sorts of extra stuff, content, up all nights, radio dramas, lots of fun. Leave us a voicemail so you can hear yourself on the show, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. If you forget any of this, where can they go?
Hysteria51.com.
Yeah, tell a friend, take a friend there, or go to gofopedia.com with a friend. Get them really crazy. GOFOPEDIA. It'll get you the same place.
I need to pull the Google Analytics on Gofopedia.
Seven people use it daily.
Seven people. Six of them came from Berwyn. Right.
So that's been our thoughts on our favorite, or not so favorite, maybe disgusting, conspiracies around the monstrosity behemoth that is Disney. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been James.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meat sacks.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.